Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Registered Ear Offenders. Chris Zapatier on the mic today, sitting in the captain's chair, as with me. With me, as always, is my right-hand man, my number one, Sal Rodriguez.
Thank you, Chris. You know, I've never seen you so enthusiastic on the microphone. That right there was the most enthusiasm you've ever delivered coming up front on the microphone.
I've been building it up, so of course, as you know, the holidays kind of slowed us down a little bit, and it's good to be back on track, back on schedule. The number here is 800-893-9562, 800-893-9562. Sal and I will take calls for about the next half hour. You're listening to Extreme XM 165 in collaboration with SkidRowStudios.com. I don't know if you're new to the program, you may not know that Sal and I just went global. We just took the program global.
Now, wait a second. Technically, the fact that you're on the internet implies global. It's the World Wide Web. I mean, we've been global. Remember, we got fans in Pakistan and Argentina.
But doesn't China block our signal?
China blocks our signal. And you know what? You would have thought Pakistan blocked our signal. But yeah, now that we're on satellite, we do have a larger reach at this moment.
If Pakistan didn't block our signal, they will after that bit we did last week.
Not only will they block us after that bit, they will come and behead us after that bit.
Yeah, apparently Sal and I didn't learn our lesson from Daniel Pearl.
For those of you who didn't tune in last week, we had a very sketchy characters involving Islamic militants. And Chris and I just might be killed.
I'm pretty hard on Western religion. I thought it was only fair that I direct some of my critical eye towards, other faiths. You know?
People are very hard on Islam. They're hard on Christianity. Even some anti-Semites hard on Judaism, but you never hear anybody bashing Buddhism.
Well, that's because Buddhists aren't blowing up abortion clinics. They also aren't, beating children to death, training up a child. You know, there's a reason. There's a reason for that. It's like when you hear people talk, they're like, why does everybody, people hate America? Like, really, why don't people hate Canada? Why don't people hate Amsterdam? Like, sometimes you got to use your brain a little bit and think,
The hate is for our freedoms.
Right, exactly. Like, no, here's why they hate you, because you sell arms to Israeli soldiers that they use to kill Palestinian children. There's a little bit of sense, and I'm not voicing support or opposition towards anyone, but sometimes you have to use a little bit of common sense. Like, sometimes, as an adult, you go, well, there must be a reason for that.
Chris, I would like you to never say that again, because I would like to have a career in entertainment.
Yeah, that's right. So Sal and I, we love the Jews, we love the gays. And we both hope to work with them hand in hand.
We love the Jews and the gays. We love the gay Jews.
And we also love our Latinos. We got a lovely soundboard operator.
Hi.
Hello, that's Sonia right there. Sonia, are you? What is your heritage?
I'm Mexican-American.
Yeah,
but I don't know Spanish, so I guess I'm kind of a poser.
You don't know Spanish?
No. Well, wow. I can probably pull it off if I really had to, but...
If you really had to? Like, in the event of an extreme emergency, you can...
Well, I used to work at a library. I was a librarian, and libro,
That was good.
Well, I don't know. I learned words, but I haven't practiced enough.
That's funny, because one word that a lot of people seem to know, a lot of English-speaking people, is biblioteca.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So I don't know where they get that from or why so many people know that, but she actually worked at the biblioteca.
Wait a second. She just said libro. I thought she was telling us her astrological sign. you're born in October?
I'm Aries. My birthday's coming up.
When's your birthday?
March 29th. I'm going to be 29.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Does that mean that... she's a younger woman.
I know. Did you ever think that 29 would be a younger woman?
No, nor did I ever think that having sex with a 6-year-old woman would be...
Yeah, inconceivable.
Chris and I were just talking about that last night. It's like, what if we slept with a 60-year-old? Would that be such a big deal? Nah.
No, Kirstie Alley's on the wrong side of 50, and I'd bang her.
You'd bang Kirstie Alley?
I'd bang the bottom out of that old bitch.
She's a big woman, too.
Yeah, I like that. I've got no problem with that. The things that I'm attracted to are unconventional across the boards. Anyway, we got a big show ahead of us, Sal, so we can't deviate too much. Sal and I are determined to stay on schedule today on topic. We've got a great guest, and we've also got a bit at the end, why not, that we haven't done many times and we haven't done in a while, so we're hoping to get to that. I guess we'll go ahead and read the manifest for today. We're going to start out with strangest sexual experiences. Sal and I have talked it over, and we thought about some incidences that we had in our lives. After that, we've got greatest disappointments, bringing our guest Jake Dill. You may know his name. He's an on-air personality in the Los Angeles area. As always, we have Chris's Corner. As always, we have Sal's Weekly Rant. And once again, if we have time, we'll do a Why Not.
From what I understand, Jake Dill has been on actual radio shows.
Yeah, he is apparently he's an on-air personality. He covers sports. He's a sort of a jack of all trades within a trade on his station, 98.7. I know it's a kind of a rock station, right?
Anybody that comes in here having done radio previous, I always imagine that they are judging us.
Yeah, or just laugh and go, oh, this is so cute. applaud them for their effort, really. No, 98 Points, I know them. They have billboards all over town. I think their slogan is second only to Skid Row Studios.
I believe so.
Right, cool. Well, that's a big thing.
Well, one thing I want to clarify, you know, people have voiced the difference between satellite radio and podcasting. The reason why I never say this is a podcast is because this is live right now. And I did a podcast a few nights ago, and I had a great time. But essentially, we just were recording. It was guys sitting around recording themselves. In fact, the guy who was in charge even stopped the recorder to yell at a guy for smoking. He's like, "Stop smoking!" Then he started. I just like, "Did you just stop recording in the middle of what is that?" I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, I'm always very judicious about what words I use when I tell people about our show because we broadcast from a dedicated sound studio in downtown Los Angeles. I don't even know how much it would cost to build put this studio together. We have a professional sound tech. Lovely sound tech, by the way.
A Latina.
Right, and she's watching our every move and supporting us. And this is the real deal, man. We don't take time off. We don't broadcast from our garage or our basement.
No, it's true. This is honestly the first time I ever came in here. I was very impressed when I got here. I said, "Oh, this is a very nice place."
By the way, while we're on the subject, please, we do have a Facebook page. Please like us on our Facebook page or follow Sal and I. We're both on Twitter. ChrisZ34. And at Sal Los Angeles, right?
Sal Los Angeles.
Perfect. And once again, you're listening to Extreme XM 165 in collaboration with Skid Row Studios. And we thank them for welcoming us into their home. I guess with that said, let's move on, Sal. Let's kick things off with strangest sexual experiences.
Oh, mine's going to be the grossest sexual experience. It's not going to be so much strange as much as gross.
Mine was after a show. I was probably maybe 26, 27 at the time, did a show in St. Augustine, Florida. And this woman was part of a group. And the group came up to me after the show, telling me how much they enjoyed it. And I knew something was up, man. I could kind of see how she was lingering. And, as her friend, her group broke off, went to their respective car, I noticed she kind of dragged her feet. Like, she made it look like she was going to her car, too. But she slowly... and so they drove off, and sure enough, she turned around, and we started talking again. And she said, "Hey, you know, I live right down the street," and so I knew that it was on. This would have been my first one-night stand, Sal, so I was really looking forward to that. So we go over to her place, and I sit down on her couch. We start drinking some wine. I'm looking around. I was somehow able to ignore the fact that she had pictures of her kid everywhere, which is just, to me, probably the single biggest turnoff. Aside from maybe posting graphic pictures of STDs, you know, is going, here's the consequence of what you're about to do. That's what I see pictures of kids as. Anyway, we go to her room. She tells me what a great blowjob, and then proceeds to give me the most mundane, unmemorable blowjob I've ever received in my life, to the point where I actually guess, hey, let's just move on to round two. You know, I kind of gave her one of those friendly taps on the butt, like, let's get moving a little bit. You know, this is not... not what you promised. So here's where things get weird. While she's giving me this blowjob, she's wearing these granny panties, which I didn't care. She didn't expect to have this one-night standard to meet me or anything, so I didn't think much of it. But I kept trying to get her out of them, and she seemed reluctant to do so. And she actually kind of said, "Oh, I'm embarrassed. I'm wearing these panties. You know, they're so not sexy or whatever." So I thought it was that much more odd that she was so reluctant to remove them. And while she was blowing me, I said, "Hey, why don't you swing around so I can, return the favor?" And again, she just kind of like nodded, like, yeah, yeah, like she understood what I said and she was going to do it, but she didn't do it.
Did you use that terminology, return the favor? Let me return the favor.
No, I was younger then, so if I said, I probably said something coarse, turn around so I can get my tongue all in you. But so at that point, she's like, "All right, let's just have sex." And I go, "Oh, cool, you have condoms?" And she goes, "Oh, no." And here's the thing, just instinctively goes like, "Oh, no, I just got checked out. It's fine, let's go." And I go, "Well, okay, maybe you got checked out, but I didn't. Since you're already a single mom, clearly you're not somebody who practices, who monitors her, polices her area that well." And I was like, I appreciate that. But that's
the guard is off duty.
And the truth is, this is maybe in a year or so after I'd had a herpes scare. So I was particularly...
What?
Yeah. I'll tell you about this some other time.
Please, on another episode, tell us about your herpes scare.
Yeah. And this isn't like what they call a near miss. in aeronautical terms. This was like me going to the doctor Ooh. Several times and whatnot to, you know, just to be sure. So I was committed to safe sex. And so long story short, she's like, nah. And I go, listen, my hotel is a mile down the road. We could walk there. I got a full fresh box of condoms. And all of a sudden, it's like she's just not interested anymore. She's like, listen, I got to wake up early tomorrow. And I go, are you kidding me? It's a mile down the road. We can be in 10 minutes. We can be back in bed having sex. And she's like, just totally like, it was clear that it's as if she had never made advances in the first place. And I just kind of go like, okay, well, it was nice meeting you. I guess I'll get out of here. But to this day, I can't help but think she either wanted to give me a disease or wanted to get knocked up again. Because there's just no other logical explanation for how she behaved that night.
Well, maybe she didn't want to give you a disease, but rather get a disease. You ever hear when these guys stand in front of the police to get shot, they call it death by cop?
Yeah.
Maybe she wanted death by cock.
Well, she picked the wrong guy to kill her. I mean, though nowadays, I'd be more partial to killing a woman than I would back then. That's the soundbite that they're going to use to prosecute me if I'm ever associated with the murder or disappearance of a girl. Sal, your turn.
Well, basically, I used to go to 18 and over clubs a lot, and not the 21 and over clubs. The 21 and over clubs, I had no luck at all. But the 18 and over clubs, I used to do quite well. So I had a little winning streak between the ages of about 18 and 21. And I met this girl named Mary. She was a real cute chick. I met her at the Florentine Gardens in Hollywood, which is still there, I believe. So we met up at Florentine Gardens. A few weeks later, she comes over to my apartment. I used to live with my buddy Mario, and we had an apartment in Mission Hills, California. So she comes over wearing these heels and little tiny shorts, and we're both about 19, 20 years old at the time. And I remember my friend Joe was there at the time, and right before Joe excused himself to go back home, Joe said, you're going to be fucking her. And I said, how do you know? He goes, trust me. And he just left. And I was like, okay. And Joe had a lot of girls. So I trusted him.
He was some kind of slut whisperer.
Joe used to get a lot of girls. So when he said that, I was like, okay, I had high hopes. So we sit down at my dining room table and right away I start rubbing her legs and massaging her feet. And then we go into my bedroom. So we go into my bedroom. She strips off her clothes. Her name was Mary. I'll never forget. She strips down naked and right away, we started doing the 69, just like right away. And by the way, 69, kind of unappreciated as of late. I think a lot of people, you don't hear a lot of people talking about the 69.
My favorite thing to do. I'd actually prefer it to sex, yeah.
You prefer 69 with her on top or you on
assuming
top?
Assuming she's a competent oral giver.
With her on top or you on top?
Her on top.
Okay, so Mary is in the 69 position on top of me. And she's saying to me quite forcefully, lick my pussy, she says, lick my pussy. Well, I go to lick her pussy, and obviously in the process, it's very well lit. This was in the middle of the afternoon. I spread open her ass, and there was a toilet paper in her asshole at the time. And I believe I just kind of bypassed it and stayed on her. But basically, I'm nibbling on her clit, but I'm looking at I'm facing the toilet paper.
Praying it doesn't fall into your eye. And
it was like a little rolled up. It was like rolled. It was bad. It was bad. I think, I don't remember if I actually attempted to remove it.
No.
I told you this wasn't going to be strangest sexual experience, but grossest sexual experience. So I'm not certain if I actually removed it with my fingers, not with my tongue. So I removed the toilet paper, I believe. And I do also remember she had a giant bush. This was before, you know, guys our age, we had a lot of our sexual encounters in our 20s and in our early 30s before the shaved pussies came in. Now, women have shaved pussies. When I was banging girls in my teens and 20s, no girls had shaved pussies.
I would not be surprised to find a kid, maybe who's 13, 14 now, who doesn't know that a vagina is supposed to be hairy because everyone he's ever seen has been well-groomed.
That's true. At the very least, the landing strip. But now all these girls in porn have to completely shave.
Here we are 21 years later. I still remember it like it was yesterday, Sal. Rena Razzi, one time I was hanging out with this group of my metalhead loser friends in high school. And she was sitting in tiny, tiny shorts, and she was just kind of like, you know, spreading her legs, like inadvertently, you know, not even thinking about it. And I actually caught a glimpse of like errant bush, stray bush that had crept, I guess, out of her panties and down the side of her leg far enough to protrude from the leg of her shorts.
Wow.
So you can imagine what that looked like bare. Yeah. Just totally ungroomed.
Yeah. And what year is this? What year are we talking?
I'd say about 21 years ago, 22 years ago.
Yeah, see, this is what we had to put up with. I hope that any young guys listening, I hope you can appreciate all these little girls running around with their shaved pussies, whereas us guys, we did not experience that. We grew up on women with bushes. That's where, you know, in fact, Hustler Magazine, was it Hustler Penthouse, used to have a thing called Beaver Hunt. Remember Beaver Hunt?
Yeah. People would send in photographs. They took it home, yeah.
Yeah, so the term for vagina was beaver because it was hairy. So you would send a picture of your girlfriend's hairy vagina to the Beaver Hunt and win a prize.
And now it's Mexican Chihuahua and they've updated for the times.
Is that what it's called?
Hey, let's jump into greatest disappointments so we don't fall behind. I'll start with mine. It was my brother's wedding.
Wait, I think we're already going to be behind.
We're always behind, Sal. But, I think that's a good thing. My brother's wedding, long story short, we're having a gay old time and everybody's drunk, everybody's drinking. And I have this kind of cousin, my mother's best friend. She's my godmother and she has a son who's just a mess, you know, and he's, you know, issues with substance abuse and whatnot. He gets loaded that night, gets too loaded. And my brother says, you know, hey, everybody come back to our hotel room. Cause I guess, you know, they've been having sex for so long. They didn't even care that it was their honeymoon night. So he throws kind of an after party at his place. And I meet this hot blonde. This attractive blonde girl, and she liked to dance. Real good attitude, real cool.
Is this strangest sexual experiences?
No. This is a greatest disappointment, my friend. So long story short, she needs a ride home, and I'm just the man to give it to her, you know. But here's the thing. My car's back at the reception. So he gets so drunk, he starts acting like a lunatic, right? He drinks, he passes out in my brother's hotel room. So I try to sneak out with the girl and somehow he magically wakes up. Like, I mean, literally out of nowhere, hey, we're going, okay, we're good. So he rides in the truck, right? Nobody wants him there. Nobody knows him. He rides in the back of my friend's brand new pickup, guy named Andrew. Guy's got like 3-4 people crammed in the cabin of his brand new pickup. This guy goes, hey, you know, I'll sit in the back. And guy goes, we tell him, you can't be in the back of the truck, man. It's January. It's freezing out there. We'll be driving. I was in the army. I can handle it. Fucking 5 minutes into the ride, he's pounding on the glass. He wants to get in. And we go, dude, you can't get in. This is a stick shift. You physically can't fit in. I can't operate the vehicle if you get in. He goes back in. Second later, pukes while the truck's driving, pukes all over the side of my, you know, my buddy's brand new truck. Long story short, I get back. Now, he's in tow, so I got to drive this hot blonde to her house, but he's in the back. And he keeps popping up like a fucking whack-a-mole to be a peanut gallery. You ever get one of these jackasses that want to chime into your conversation?
Especially if they're in the back seat.
Yeah, right. And I mean, he'd pass out. I'd start making some, you know, like some talk with this girl, a little chemistry. She's nice, you know. And then every 10 minutes, well, here's the thing. And he's one of those guys who wants to get deep when he's drunk, you know. I mean, I just wanted to fucking elbow him right across the fucking, you know, seat. But, yeah, he pretty much ruined that night for me, man. And then we found out later on that the limousine that part of the bridal party was in got hit by a guy going the wrong way. And like fucking, he would have killed them all if he hit them on the other side of the limo. Because he hit them on the side that people don't sit on, you know, where the bar is. I mean, my brother's wedding was just a travesty.
So the disappointment was that you felt you could have laid her.
Yeah, exactly. And I've never really been good at that thing. I've never been the guy who just like, hey, I like that. I want to fuck that. I'm going to go up and talk to that. And an hour from now, I'll be fucking it. That's never been me. So this night when there was actual chemistry and every piece fell into place, I had to say, she asked me for a ride home. I was taking her to her home. Ugh. It would have been an ideal scenario for that to happen.
I used to have a great times at weddings. In fact, I advise guys, go to weddings. Weddings are great places to pick up. Definitely great places to pick up. My story was just very disappointing. I used to work at this gym. I had my sexual heydays at this gym. I was in my mid-20s. I met this girl who was 19 years old. And she said, give me a ride home. So I give her a ride home. I used to drive a pickup truck with a camping shell. So I had a pickup truck with a camping shell. So we go to a park and we start making out. And then she says, you want to go in the back? So we go to we climb into the back of the pickup truck underneath the camping shell, 12 midnight in a park. She takes out my dick. She's about to blow me. She's literally 2 seconds from blowing me. And all of a sudden, light comes on and it's the cop. It's a cop banging on the window, flashing the flashlight. We crawl back into the inside of the truck. And the cop says, listen, I could arrest you guys right now. And I said, look, just don't, please let us go. You know, we made a mistake. And so he said, I'll never forget, he said, take this girl home. He said, take this girl home. The disappointment was I never got to hook up with her again. That was it, man. I could have had the greatest blowjob of my life, theoretically. But a cop came and cock-blocked. He cop-blocked.
He cop-blocked. It wouldn't have been funny if that cop turned out to be Cliff Yates. our guest for next week.
Our guest for next week on our 25th episode extravaganza.
Wow, I can barely believe it myself, Sal. I'm really looking forward to that show. Cliff had, if I'm not mistaken, the highest rated show. And he'll be our first return guest, right?
Well, he'll also, is Nine Finger going to be joining
him? Nine Finger will be joining him. Yeah, I think was our second highest rated guest.
Be sure to tune in next week where we have our 25th episode silver anniversary special next week.
This will not be Sal and I flapping our gums. This will be a bit of a party, man. And we do have a show bumpering us on the tail end, unfortunately. Otherwise, we were thinking about taking it for 2 hours. But anyway, it's still going to be a good show. Feel free to check it out. Feel free to call in 800-893-9562. Once again, you're listening to Extreme XM 165 in collaboration with SkidRowStudios.com. Registered ear offenders, Sal Rodriguez, Chris Z. Sal, I think it's that time.
All right, man. Go ahead and introduce our guest for today, Chris.
Well, this guy, quite a storied background. Done a little bit of editorial cartooning. Started doing stand-up comedy in 2003. Hilarious. Super nice guy. He's also, here's the thing, he's running a morning show from 6 to 10 a.m. He does sports on Mondays and Fridays. And he's an on-air personality Saturdays from 4 to 10 p.m. on 98.7, a badass rock station right here in Los Angeles. And you can download their app, their iHeartRadio app, for free if you want to check them out. Please welcome to the show, Jake Dill.
Yay.
Jake's going to be the first guest we kick off the show, I guess.
I'm breaking stuff.
Right out of the gate, he's breaking shit. How you doing, Jake?
He comes in with the largest beer I've ever seen.
It made me feel good that I walked in. I'm like, well, I got to relax and open up a little bit during the show. And it made me feel good that when I walked in, your engineer was like, how you doing? With beer in hand. I'm like, I think I'm good.
Now,
in the right spot.
I thought I saw you with two beers. Did you bring your own
No, he gave one? No, he gave me one. I was like, well, might as well. Win in Rome.
That is Jeremy Hansen, the owner of Skid Row. And when he offers you a beer, you better fucking take it.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, this, right. I think this is the only job I've ever held where you kind of like a, damn, I feel bad that I'm not drinking on the job. I don't want my boss to gig me for that. He's going to call you into the office. You are too sober to do this.
I said, when I first saw Jeremy, I was like, how are you doing today? He's fucking downing Hennessy, I think.
Out of the bottle.
Yeah. Or whatever the hell it was. So what's up, Jake? How you doing, man? You're from Tulare? Is it Tulare or Tulare?
They say Tulare. That's where I was born at. I never really spent much time there, okay, except for in the hospital. I lived in the neighboring town, Visalia.
Because I used to go to Kings River with an old girlfriend. I understand. Kings River is near Tulare.
Yeah. Yeah, I lived there. I lived when I was a small kid. I lived there and back and forth from there to the coast, like Ventura, Camarillo.
I got to ask you about this, Jake. In your bio, you had something about editorial cartooning going as far back as your high school days.
In college, yeah. Well, yeah, high school, yeah, as far back as high school, yeah.
How does a guy get started in that? I mean, it just seems like such a kind of, you know.
I think it's just because I was good at drawing, just doing comics. Like, I used to do comics in junior high and stuff and just, you know, goof around, draw whatever, draw on desks, whatever. And then just one of the guys who was doing editorial cartooning for the high school paper was leaving or didn't want to do it anymore and asked me if I wanted to do it. I was like, hell yeah. And it was like the best high school class ever. I pretty much, it was like a credit and I would just have to do like one cartoon a month and then the rest of the time just listen to my Walkman.
Have you ever done an editorial cartoon of Muhammad?
I haven't. I listened to that podcast. I haven't. That you guys were talking about, like, what, last week?
We don't use the P word.
your live radio thing.
Live internet radio show broadcast from a dedicated sound studio in downtown Los Angeles. Right.
You guys are treating me like I just did a cartoon of Muhammad, and you guys.
Jake Dill does cartoons of Muhammad. That would be good.
Yeah, so by the way, if you heard the sketch last week and you were offended by it, it was entirely Jake Dill's idea.
Jake Dill does it.
And if you think the sketch was bad, wait till you see the accompanying cartoon. Just a joke, guys. I got so quiet in the room.
I thought you were going to continue. I didn't know what you were saying.
Okay. Now, you worked the road for a couple years as a comic. I guess out there doing you did Pat Wilson stuff in the Pacific Northwest?
I did a couple things. I did the triple runs, if any comics know about that. I did that. I think the last time I did any of those runs was a triple run, and I was like, oh, fuck.
That is the boot camp of comedy.
Yeah. It's like five nights in a row, and it's like Eastern Washington, Eastern Washington, Idaho, Eastern Washington, Southern Oregon.
Well, it's funny because they're really not places that that should be considered a run. They just happen to be possible to do from one day to the next.
Yeah, I think he just throws darts at a board.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, that like That looks good. Yeah. I mean,
typically a run, if you do a run for the Comedy Zone, you drive 3 to 4 hours. Maybe once a week you'll have to do, you know, pull a 7-hour drive. But with the triple runs, like you have to forego sleeping to make it to your next gig, you know?
Yeah, it was rough. I think the very last show was in Cave Falls, Oregon, and it was like the one we did for free, in quotes. Like we got paid like extra for the first four, and then that one was like an eight hour drive home, and oh man, after that I was like, oh. And it was like the worst one too. It was just some like little tiny bar with three people. It was terrible.
Chris, let's go ahead and play a clip of Jake, and this is your clip where you're talking about cream cheese.
I grew up in church. My grandfather was a pastor. But I know I'm not a good Christian, though, because I tell people the story of a hot dog with cream cheese way more than I do Jesus. Have you had a hot dog with cream cheese? It's fucking amazing. I tell people like it was Jesus. Let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you something. I was living my life at the bottom of a barrel. I was. I didn't even like cream cheese. I was eating bagels plain. And then one day, I had a friend who cared about me enough to tell me about a hot dog with cream cheese. Changed my life. Changed your life too, brother. If a Jehovah's Witness came to my house and said that, can I talk to you about Jesus? I'd be like, can I talk to you about a hot dog cream cheese? Let's see who changes whose life. I got $10 on me. That will buy you two. We can share. I almost like it enough to go door to door. Just knock on doors. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Have you heard the story of a hot dog cream cheese? The hot dog cream cheese loves you no matter how you were raised or who you are. Maybe you were raised mustard. Maybe you were raised chili. Hot dog cream cheese don't care. He loves you.
Jake, would you consider yourself born again cream cheese?
Probably, yeah. Would you believe that was the first time I ever did that bit?
Well, it turned out well.
Now you sold the shit out of it.
And then I never done it again.
Let me ask you this question, though. Is that a hot dog with a bun or without a bun?
No, with a bun. They sell them on the streets of Seattle.
Because we don't have that around here. We have the bacon-wrapped hot dogs out
here. Bacon-wrapped, I see that on the street a lot down here. I've asked, and they don't have it. It's just, I think it's originally from New York. That's what I first heard of it. My friend from New York, we were walking down the street in Seattle, and he's like, you got to try one of these. And they come with onions sometimes too. I get them with no onions, but they're fucking fantastic.
Dude, I am getting a boner right now. That sounds so fucking good.
Really? It is. Cream cheese.
And it's true. That joke is true. Like I didn't even like cream cheese before. I was like, holy fuck. It's really good.
Jake, I wanted to ask you, since in your bio, very right-wing household and family. Grandpa was a Baptist minister. Your uncle still is. Where do you stand now? And how'd you get there?
You know, pretty much believe in all that stuff.
Well, we know you're anti-Islam. We know that.
Yeah, I'm huge. I fucking hate Islam. I wonder if I should put like, you know, sarcastic in quotes since they can't see me.
Well, no, actually, we do have our camera on. Anybody watching us live, this is the man. Any militants out there, this is the man.
I'm glad my back was turned for most of that. I think it's. There's something out there, you know. I don't try to preach to anybody or try to convert anybody, but I think there's a reason why we're here. I'm not saying that evolution isn't right, but I'm saying there's a reason for evolution, and I think that could be a God, whatever you want to think it could be. I don't think it's an accident. So well, yeah,
here we call God Jeremy Hansen.
Is that, oh, that's the guy who got me the beer?
Jeremy Hansen is the owner of Skid Row Studios.
Oh, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, that guy.
Hey, Jake, I wanted to ask you, whatever became of the editorial cartooning?
After college, I did pretty well in college with it. And then after that, towards the end of that, I was also doing radio at the time in Seattle. And towards the end of radio, I started doing stand-up. I just got pulled in a different direction. I liked stand-up more. I thought stand-up, I could do jokes. And a lot of times in editorial cartooning, you gotta kind of be serious, you know? And even though it's fun, the other thing is, there's fucking, who does that? There's like name a newspaper and see if they have an editorial cartoonist on staff. Probably not. It's probably all syndicate or whatever else. So
yeah, I imagine if you told me I'm an editorial cartoonist, I immediately envision a guy who looks like Warren Buffett. You know, he's a white guy with a sports coat. He's probably 50, 60 years
old. Smokes a pipe.
Yeah, yeah, he's been there for 20, 30 years since the newspaper started.
Let me ask this question, Jake. You also are doing sports as well. Now, let me ask this question. One thing I've thought about is I really enjoy watching the Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Yeah, yeah.
And I watch Joe Rogan do the commentary. But I notice that he doesn't do a lot of comedy while he's doing the commentary. How do you disperse, or do you mix your comedy with your sports commentating?
I do a little bit. I try to make it funny-ish. And it just all depends, especially when you're in, well, I would guess with Joe, if you're doing that, like, guys getting punched in the dick isn't really that funny. Unless, well, sometimes it is, but just saying that, I kind of laugh. But, like, in that kind of, like...
When it's a good-natured punch in the dick.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
When guys are
just, you know, fiercely fighting, I don't know if you want to make fun of that, because he's going to interview him afterwards and might get punched in the fucking nose. I don't know if you want to make fun of someone for, you know, being brave enough to do that. I wouldn't, but when I do sports, like, it's kind of like updates and anything else, so I think that lends itself to a little bit of, you know, comedy. You can do a couple quips here and there, but, you know, if I don't feel funny, because I do it early, sometimes I'm like, fuck this. Let's do more facts, so.
And is this on 98.7?
Yeah, 98.7 is sports with Kennedy and Music in the Mornings on Mondays and Fridays.
Wait, Kennedy from MTV?
Yeah, Kennedy from MTV. She called me today.
Yeah?
I have her phone number on my phone.
Are you married or are you single?
I'm single.
So do you ever hook up with Kennedy?
No, she's married.
Oh, okay.
No, that's funny. One time, I don't remember what it was, some project I submitted for, and I had Deborah Skelton's phone number. You know her from Mad TV? Attractive chick with a ripped fucking body.
Really?
Like a track and field athlete's body.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember I actually spoke to her on the phone. Nothing ever became of it, but I remember just that was the first time I ever had somebody of any kind of achievement in the industry I had their phone number in my
Wow. You don't have it anymore?
Damn, I don't think so, man. I can't just, she wouldn't, I'm sure she wouldn't remember if I just go, hey, remember me from 6 years ago?
No.
We spoke once.
No.
Hey, well, I do want to ask you, what are you doing with your stand-up these days?
I'm doing any kind of decent show I can get my hands on, I do. I work on new stuff as much as I can. And, you know, I think I'm like kind of, how long have you been doing stand-up, Chris?
Oh, God, I'm like 10 years total.
Yeah, me
too. But I like to say 8 years, like for real, though. Because when I first started, it was an open mic 3 minutes a week.
Oh, yeah. I've started for like 10 years. 10 years this year in June. I actually had my first stand-up gig on like VHS. I don't think I've ever watched it.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it's
kind of terrible. You don't want to watch it. Hey, well, let me ask you. Doesn't Joe Sib is on your network, right?
Yeah, I know Joe.
Does that prick ever put you on his show?
It's funny you ask, because I've been trying to get on that thing forever. Like, even years before it was even sponsored by my station. And just fucking yesterday, he asked me to maybe start hosting in February. So I should be at the Laugh Factory soon.
Cool. Congratulations. Yeah. I'll refrain from demeaning him as much as I want to.
He says great things about you.
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite thing to say when anybody talks shit about any comedian. He talks good things about you.
I guess
you.
He withholds responding from my inquiries and then says great things to me about me to Jake Dill. So a couple things here. It sounds like you put a lot of work into to secure a position at your station.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, dude. Yeah, I was doing radio for years in Seattle and then quit to move down to LA and then just floundered around and had a hard time and saw the billboards for the station and listened to the station and my old boss, I listened to him like, I can fucking do that. That guy sucks. And who's Josh Venable, if he's listening, which he's not. But did that, then just finally got a board opposition and kicked the goddamn door down and I'm at where I'm at. These guys are like having like a serious fight over there in the other room.
There is a serious fight going on in the other room.
She looks like she's trying to steal a keyboard. He's like, "That's my keyboard."
We're trying to act like it's not happening.
It's great. I wonder they can't see it on the camera.
Oh man. So let me ask you though.
welcome to Skid Row, motherfuckers.
Once again, you're listening to Extreme XM 165 in collaboration with Skid Row Studios. I've been asked to say that every 15 minutes if you're wondering why I keep repeating it like a fucking automaton.
Also,
people gotta know.
Also, apparently, we're now involved with the Ultimate Fighting Championship, it seems.
So, yeah, I'm going to refer to that from now on as my slave name, XM 165 in collaboration with Skid Row Studios.
Let me ask you, Jake, regarding some of your comedy influences, you mentioned Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Do you feel that it is obligatory for any non-black comic to list Richard Pryor, Bill Cosby, or Eddie Murphy as some of their influences?
It shouldn't. I don't think it should. It is for me. Eddie Murphy was huge on me. I didn't hear about Richard Pryor till, well, at the same time, but I didn't hear about Bill Hicks or George Carlin for a long time.
Yeah, I gotta say, man, I'm one of the few people who sometimes I wonder if it's a matter of taste or I just refuse to let other people kind of sway me, but I can't stand Eddie Murphy. I mean, when I was a kid, I would watch that special and I thought he was some kind of comedic genius, but I tried watching it about 5-6 years ago. Oh. Somehow a friend had an old tape with it. And I mean, he's doing a bit about taking a shit and the shit's too small to come out. It's where I think he was doing the bit as Bill Cosby.
No, yeah, because the bit is, that's how he started. Like, the bit is, like, he would listen to, he would listen to Richard Pryor, and then when he first got on stage, he would do, like, Richard Pryor bits, but, you know, like, in,
So yeah, and even the girl, I mean, we just kind of looked at each other, and I go, like, wow, this has not aged
well. You're fucking crazy. Delirious and Roth, I fucking love those specials.
Even a lot of these guys, like, right now, the big thing is people love to tell, you know, like, oh, Louis C.K., people think I'm a nut because I have... I'm not that impressed.
Oh, really?
I'm just not that impressed.
Oh, man, I don't know how you can't.
Here's the thing.
He's like a 60-minute special every year.
Right, and that's exactly my point. We as comedians, at least I work well into the night haggling over, in some cases, syllables to make my jokes as concise and, you know, effective and unforeseeable as I possibly can. And the fact that this guy comes along and... slugs through his shit is somehow to his credit. I don't get that. Any other comic, you'd go, this guy needs to polish his shit up more. But for some reason, he's got this like autonomy to there's this get out of jail free card for being a sluggish, unpolished performer. I don't get it.
I don't know. I want to call him unpolished. I think Jerry Seinfeld said like that will get you, your name will get you so far, but you still got to be funny. You know, Louis C.K., like, oh, fuck, awesome Louis C.K., but he's still got to be funny as soon as he hits stage. And I think he is. I think he's really funny.
And when I hear his specials, like, there's nothing, there's no concept. I mean, we as comedians, essentially what we're doing is something that the average person can't do. Yeah. Would shit their pants if they were forced to do. I was just talking to somebody who asked me, they said the first time they had to speak publicly in college, they passed out. You know, and we get up there and we do it in front of hundreds of people every night.
But
Louis C.K., whenever I hear him make an analogy or trying to illuminate some concept, it's just like, you know, it's shitty. Getting old is shitty. Marriage is shitty. Like the guy, he's not clever. He's not incisive. I don't understand why people respect his work so much.
That's a fair criticism in a sort, but I don't know, man. I think it's just the way he says it.
Anyway, this is not the inside stand-up comedy, so let's not.
By the way, if Louis C.K. is listening, that is Chris Z saying all that. I myself am a huge fan.
Just in case you're looking randomly for an opener that you've never met or seen perform before, Sal is perfectly open to the invitation. Well, cool, man. Listen, we're really excited for you having your own show. That's pretty badass, dude. Like, I nothing ever came of my radio background. I did study communications in college, and I did in high school. My high school actually had a legitimate radio station. And if I wasn't such a flippant kid, you know, I wasn't so into making people laugh and shit. What happened is, I think I've mentioned this to you, Sal, before, where I made the joke about Danny Terrio and Merv. Apparently, remember when Danny Terrio sued Merv Griffin Enterprises? He claimed that he'd been sexually harassed by Merv Griffin.
Jake is not old enough to know who the hell Danny Terrio is.
Jake, how old are you?
I'm 35.
What are you talking about?
Do you know who Danny Terrio is?
The name sounds familiar.
Well, he used to host the show. It was like a dance type.
Dance,
wasn't it? Like,
oh,
fever.
Yeah.
It was Dance Fever.
And I know that from an Eddie Murphy bit.
And many years later, he came out and he sued Merv Griffin Enterprises, claiming that Merv Griffin came on to him aggressively on several occasions. So I did a bit where I was just talking and I incorporated it into the actual news to make it sound like it had just happened earlier that day that... the DJ who had stayed home from school that day, the regular DJ, that the reason he wasn't there was because he had been sexually assaulted by Merv Griffin at a local pizza place.
Yeah.
And as soon as I got out of the studio, as soon as I ended the news feed, I walked to the studio and the station manager goes, so Chris, what class do you want to be transferred into?
Wow.
Yeah, she goes, do you realize that we could be sued?
No. I get, well, you're at College Station?
No, this was high school.
Oh, fuck. Whatever.
Right. Yeah.
I know, like, especially, and that's for John to be a hard ass, I guess. But yeah, you're not supposed to, like, report fake news. I know that. Because that's how I got into radio, is just, like, making prank phone calls and fucking around. Like, that was my first outlet. Like, oh, I want to do radio just so it could be funny. Stand-up wasn't even on my fucking radar. Like, that wasn't even a thing that, like, normal people did. Like, I had no venue to do that. And so I just made prank phone call tapes for the DJ to run. And then he would do stuff like that. He convinced a news station in Seattle that the Space Needle was actually sold. And they reported it, and he got yelled at. But I think my manager's like, yeah, you can't fucking do that. And then he shut the door and was like, that's pretty fucking funny.
Does that mean, Jake, you, like me, hate caller ID?
I had the whole setup. I brought like the cables from Radio Shack and the recorders and then like and did the whole fucking thing. It was great.
Yeah, like Jerky Boys, remember that?
Oh yeah, it was like, oh Jesus God, baby Jesus, help us all.
My shoes and my glasses.
My ass nipples, they hurt. Oh God,
Rizzo, Frank Rizzo.
That was so great. I used to have that shirt and everything, like in junior high.
I had the whole collection of the Jerky Boys, and then. Later on was the puppets. What was the puppets on Comedy Central?
Crank Yankers is good. You know what else is the best? This is the fucking best prank phone call tape I've ever heard, is the Musasha tapes. Hard to get a hold of. It's on the same label as Jerky Boys. It's like, I forget what it's called. It starts with a D or something, I think. Fuck. But it's fucking amazing. It has some of the most amazing calls I've ever heard on there.
Unfortunately, Jake, we are out of time.
No!
We have to move on, but feel free to stick around for the duration.
Right, I was starting to get comfortable, you guys.
Around for the duration of the show.
Stick around. We may have you chime in later.
Do you have any gigs coming up you want to plug?
Laugh Factory, February.
Next month. Hey,
hosting the thing with Joe Sim.
Boy, this guy, you're on fire, this guy's career. Well, cool. I'm going to move into Chris's corner. Unfortunately, there's nobody attending the board, so there won't be any background music.
There's nobody in the building, apparently.
That fight was real.
She abandoned her post.
At first, I thought it was a joke, and then that was like...
No, no, no. Some serious shit just went down here at Skid Row.
That is a court-martial in the military, Sal.
Well, so right now, Chris and our segments will have no music. It'll be a cappella.
Sal, would you mind humming at least?
I could do something.
It feels weird after doing like 10... That's pretty good. Okay, that's a little too much.
All right,
that's
now it's time for Chris's Corner.
When some sociopolitically charged current event sparks a culture war, I turn to Fox News for a black and white breakdown. Such was the case when James Holmes opened fire in a crowded Colorado cinema last July, killing 12. The talk turned to gun control. Now is not the time to politicize the tragedy. Murdoch's hand puppets chortled, just as they did when Congressional Representative Gabrielle Giffords was shot outside a Safeway the year before. Columbine, Kyleen, Virginia Tech, the Sikh Temple shootings, when is the time? When some racist vigilante profiles, pursues, and provokes an unarmed black teen to confrontation, then claims self-defense after shooting him dead? Within days of the Aurora massacre, I came across a Facebook meme depicting a civilian discreetly drawing a concealed handgun. The caption read, "One guy in the crowd could have saved them all." And while I don't doubt that there were umpteen what-ifs that could have stymied the slaughter in that dark, crowded theater, I am certain that crossfire was not one. What kind of dimwit suggests more of a problem as that problem's solution? As Americans, we are guaranteed the right to believe whatever we want, but not the right to act on every belief. When a group's agenda is too far beyond the pale, society marginalizes them. NAMBLA would love to see the age of consent abolished. We won't even hear them out. Isn't it time that gun-toting, gay-bashing, right-wing wackos be upgraded from schismatic to pariahs? These people believe that every American is entitled to own a gun, but not to health care. These people believe that a cluster of cells lacking self-awareness or a central nervous system is a person. Meanwhile, guns are killing and maiming thinking, feeling, actualized human beings at an unparalleled rate, and they respond with hillbilly bumper stickers like, "Gun control won't end gun violence." Well, outlawing pedophilia hasn't ended it. We don't forfeit the fight. No, we strip pedos of the tools they need to turn thoughts into deeds. According to The Atlantic, September 2012, Americans' gun control laws are the loosest in the developed world, and its gun-related homicide rate is the highest. Of the world's 23 rich countries, our gun-related murder rate is almost 20 times that of the other 22. Japan, the developed world's least firearm-filled nation, only logged 11 homicides in 2000, whereas we logged 12,000. And no, our population is not 1,090.9 times greater than theirs. According to the last small arms survey, there are 88 guns for every 100 Americans. Suicide rates are higher in states with an abundance of guns. If anything else were killing us as swiftly as firearms, it would be banned by day's end. Lawn darts are banned coast to coast and in Canada because they caused 4 deaths. Funny thing, those who boast of their willingness to die for their Second Amendment freedoms are, by and large, the same folks who routinely disregard the First Amendment's separation of church and state clause by pushing for prayers in schools and supporting legislation against gay marriage based on their antiquated anti-human religions dogma. Merriam-Webster defines society as a voluntary association of individuals for common ends. Making concessions for the safety and well-being of those individuals are the dues you pay to belong. I can't buy Sudafed without ID because I might make meth with it, but I can buy a gun from an unlicensed seller without a background check or a paper trail if he or she are selling from a private collection. Redneck America's arguments against gun control amount to doing nothing, and doing nothing has never solved anything. How high must the body count climb before we as a society discount those who hinder our every effort to end this nation's gun violence epidemic once and for all? That's Chris's Corner. Thanks for stopping by.
Chris, I've never heard you. I mean, you sounded like a professional anchor.
Yeah, that was that's a solid argument.
I'm getting better, buddy. I think I might have given myself a hernia.
Something.
Well, you know what else? I resent the fact that they outlawed click clacks. Remember click clacks?
No, what is that?
Those are the balls on the string that you clack, clack, click, clack, clack.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, those are illegal in some states, particularly California.
How come?
Because people got hurt.
Well, I heard last night my roommate was actually having an argument. He's apparently like a totally pro gun. Listens to that jackass Alex Jones, and one of his things is he's saying, you know, it's just because some crazy guy shoots up a school, I got to give up my guns. Yeah, that's kind of the way it works. I don't know why these people who advocate like absolutely no changes, no restrictions on guns, why they pretend like it's inconceivable or a new concept, the idea that certain things don't fly because somebody might do. I can't own a tank. I can't drive a non-militarized Humvee because that's the world we live in. I can't fucking walk around with a flamethrower, even though I have no criminal record.
Yeah, what's the line? It's like, you know, the right to bear arms. Like, if I had $1 billion, could I have an atom bomb? Am I allowed to?
Yeah, that's right.
It's something more than nunchucks, right?
But I keep hearing people, Sal, they try and scare you into backing off from your you know, pro-gun restriction agenda by going, like, they want to take guns out of your homes. No, they don't. I have never met anyone who has advocated going into a private person's homes and taking away their handgun that they use to defend themselves or their family. There's a million other things that come before that. We don't need assault, right? No one needs an assault rifle. Not for hunting, not for any reason. If you're not in a military uniform shooting at some brown person overseas, you don't need an assault rifle.
I would disagree, Chris. After today's events that have transpired here at Skid Row, I believe we need assault rifles.
Actually, I believe that Sonya needs an assault rifle for her own.
Somebody needs assault rifles. Let's get into our segment that is called Sal's Weekly Rant. Again, a cappella style. Phil's Weekly Rant! I'm going to record that and use that as a soundbite. Maybe I don't feel like smiling for the camera. After all, I wasn't smiling a second ago. Why should I do it now? Isn't that lying? If, after taking the picture, I return to my scowl or my frivolous attempt at a sexy pout, why should I smile at the presence of a camera? Where I come from, being an American-Mexican, you don't smile, especially during a picture. It shows weakness. In fact, I try to look mean during the photo, like my dad. I never recall any photo of my dad smiling. Not that he didn't smile, Kodak aside, but as soon as the camera came out, he looked mean, very mean. My dad is from Mexico, not metropolitan Mexico, but border town Tijuana, Mexico. I've seen old family photos from my dad's childhood, and they were gathered in front of their shacks, wearing their sandals, not a grin amongst them. Were they miserable? I have no clue. My dad never talked about his childhood, save for the tattered tale of him being the bastard son of the town musician. Perhaps it's an Indian thing. If you recall seeing photos of any Native American pre-color, they never smiled. Geronimo, Sitting Bull, Chief Seattle, and more recently, Iron Eyes Cody. Heck, not only was Iron Eyes never smiling, he was actually crying. There's my heritage. Being Mexican, I'm fused with Indian blood. Mexican Indian, the kind that aren't recognized by Native Americans. I never understood that logic. In all fairness, I suppose it wasn't just Indians that resisted smiling. If you ever see white American photos from a distant era, say pre-1920, they too didn't smile. They kept to the stone face. Norman Rockwell's American Gothic being but a caricature of a familiar scene. Was anybody having fun in those days? How about when we take a group photo and people put their arms around each other? Before the camera came out, I wasn't standing there with a drink in one hand and my arm draped over the shoulder of the guy next to me. Why should I assume that posture for the scrapbook? If I was standing there with a sexy pout, one hand holding a drink and the other with a handful of chips, I'll stay that way, thank you. And if the guy next to me, who I just met 30 minutes ago, tries to put his arm around me for the camera and tells me to say cheese, I'll be sure to say to him, "Huevate, cabrón." In English, that translates to, "I beg your pardon, sir, but have we been introduced? You should try that sometime." Sal's, what is it?
Sal's Corner, like something, sell some shit.
Yeah.
I like that. That was good.
Talking about Indians and shit.
Now, Sal, we actually, we're sort of on schedule here, and we typically move on to Why Not, but I do wonder if we can't go back to strangest sexual experiences and maybe have Jake chime in if he...
Jake, would you like to share a strangest sexual experience with us?
Yeah, I'll do that, because I've only talked about it once on stage, and I thought it was pretty funny. It's I dated this girl for like a split second, and it was right after I got out of like a long relationship, and you never know, like you start dating again because you just fucking have to, you know, and you don't know really who they are. It's like, okay, I find them attractive, but she would drink and it become like this like crazy, like half racist, homophobic, crazy lady, right? And and you know, AIDS is a curse from God, and you know, black people are lazy because they're bleeding. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then of course, like, I'm still gonna fuck you because I'm drunk.
you will fuck a racist homophobe.
I will.
She I won't call her back.
I will. And we're going at it for the second time that night, right? The second time, and during that, she's like, whoa. You've never been with a man, have you?
During sex?
Yeah, during sex. And then I was like, oh, no. It took everything from me like not to laugh. I just shook it off. But when I
Define been with.
What, I'm sorry?
You didn't say define been with.
No, I don't know what that is.
He's making like, a joke, like, yeah. Like meaning you have had some kind of sexual contact with a man, and so you're asking her what do you consider?
Oh, been with. Okay, I thought that was like a slang term or something. You've never been with a man, have you? And so I just shook it off. But when I came, I went, "Oh, Steve." but yeah, it was fucking.
No, you know, I do think, Sal, the fact that he says like, notice that she brought it up in the middle of sex, yes. And like abruptly for no good reason. That to me speaks of somebody who probably has deep-seated fantasies that she hates herself for and yes. is trying to project them out.
I thought it was was scared of getting AIDS.
Oh, yeah, because it's 1982 and only homosexuals get AIDS.
That she was like, oh, wait, I don't want to get AIDS.
That to me is the kind of stupidity that I've grown too old and too tired to even try and combat anymore. And when people say something like that, you know, the hurricane is this guy's, you know, the city's punishment for their acceptance. That is the stupidest fucking most illogical. If either you believe that storms are punishment from God or you don't. You don't get to pick and randomly choose what storms punish people that you dislike. In that case, everybody's been hit by a storm. So God dislikes everybody.
Chris has never been on such a anti-right-wing soapbox as today.
And when people, I've heard that a million times, some people still say it, that AIDS is some sort of divine punishment for homosexuality. Yeah. Really? Then why did it just come about? Why didn't God instill this punishment from the beginning of time, which is when there's been homosexuals since?
Maybe
since,
it's just been growing since
like what,
then.
It just occurred to him? And why this disease? To randomly select this one disease and randomly decide that it's some kind of punishment. Well, then why isn't the flu everybody's punishment? Everybody gets the flu. Everybody gets AIDS.
So Chris is a friend of the gays.
The flu is the punishment for 69. That's.
What about toothaches? Is that not, you know, or the bacteria that causes plaque or gingivitis?
That's 69. That's 69.
You fucking people are stupid, and that's why I left you on the southern end of the country.
Let's try to get in our last segment. This is Why Not. I will start it off. Why not, guys? Jake, Chris,
yeah.
Why? Why do they have marijuana pills with THC, but they do not have beer pills with alcohol in them? Do they have alcohol pills?
No, yeah, it's called a shot.
It's a concentrated.
It's called a jello shot, actually.
Well, I like that. My yeah. Why not is why not alcohol pills? What do you guys got?
Jake, go ahead and take this one.
Shit, I was going to think right
okay,
now.
No big deal. No.
Way to put our guest on the spot, Chris.
Here's what I was thinking, Sal.
Oh, I got one.
All right. Well, now you've foregone your turn, Jake. And now please lower your hand till I'm done.
Okay.
No, here's what I'm thinking. All right. We were just talking about gun control, right? And obviously we have the Second Amendment. And I mean, it might start a war with these kind of, you know, white separatists, you know, and in their little enclaves. So instead, what you do, instead of attacking or changing the Second Amendment, you restrict it in other ways. I don't know if you ever heard in Washington, D.C., for example, they have such and they've been shown statistically to be effective. Certain cities, I remember watching a news report like 60 Minutes about it years ago, where instead of telling you can't get a gun or something to that effect, if you get caught with an illegal gun, the penalty is so severe that a lot of criminals go, you know what, it's just not worth it. I know my friend who used to live in D.C., he was a juror one time, a prospective juror, and there was actually a separate charge for carrying ammunition. And he had to sit there and rule not only on the charge of, is this person guilty of carrying a firearm illegally, but is he guilty of carrying, ammunition illegally? But anyway, that's kind of my what if. Why don't we just ratchet up the punishment to the point where people won't even conceive of it. I feel the same way about violence. It's amazing to me that we live in a society where hitting somebody is not that big a deal. You know, I mean, you might get charged with assault and get out of the drunk tank 8 hours later. But to me, every act of violence is really an attempt at murder, because you can kill somebody by throwing a punch, by hitting in the right place. It's happened before. This isn't some, you know, cockamamie theory. So why aren't we as aggressive towards violence as we are to, say, child pornography? We're just, you know, just looking at it. In fact, it's my understanding that you're obligated to report it. If you even become aware of it, you can't just go, oh, that's not for me. You're obligated to report it. So what do you got, Jake?
I was going to say, like, on your tip is, why are we not so aggressive against violence as we are against, like, LSD, or something, you know, like, you know, some drugs that don't hurt anything. And I was going to say, why not? Why don't we? I've always thought this. I think we're getting close. Don't have like just bins of marijuana at the grocery store that you can buy in bulk. Well, I've always wanted that. I think we're getting close.
I know in Colorado, they're saying they're seeing if they can't actually have like machines that dispense marijuana.
That'd be fantastic. Sort of like I've always wanted to go to like a QFC or a Vons or something, or a Rouse, and just bulk right next to the candies and just, oh, look at this. The Luke Skywalker, well, whatever.
I definitely agree with that 100%. Why not be able to buy your weed at Costco? I'll need a dollar.
On a pallet.
Yeah, I like that. Jake, tell our listeners where they can see, where they can hear you.
Oh, you can hear me at 98.7 FM on, if you're in Los Angeles, on Mondays and Fridays with Kennedy during Music in the Mornings at 9:10 doing sports, and then 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturdays. You can also listen to me at 98.7FM.com and the iHeart Radio app for your anything that has apps on it.
And to be clear, Jake is not sleeping with Kennedy.
I'm not.
Chris, where are you going
to
be?
I'll be at the Gas Lamp in Long Beach next Tuesday. Great show, free show. Big shout out to Zach Miller. This guy works for an agency. He represents Jeff Garcia. A lot of huge
comedians.
I know
that guy.
Yeah, he puts on a damn fine show. Like I said, totally free, full bar, no reason not to go.
Can you get me on that show? You put in a good word?
Yeah, you bet, buddy. Anything
thanks,
for you.
Thanks,
and I'll be at Michael's Bar and Grill in Burbank twice in February. And then I'll be in Laughlin, Nevada in June, if you happen
to. Living the dream!
Yeah, that's wow. Right. So,
and we also have some big announcements about where we will be in June.
July.
June. Chris and I have some big news. Hello. Chris and I have some big news about where we're going to be in June. Stay tuned. We will be somewhere quite exotic, hopefully broadcasting from there. Be sure to check us out on Facebook at Registered Ear Offenders on Facebook. My name is Sal Rodriguez. Co-host Chris Z would like to thank Jeremy Hansen, Sonia, who is MIA. We would like to thank Skid Row Studios, and reminding you that you're listening to Extreme XM 165 in collaboration with SkidRowStudios.com. And we'd like to thank Wes Hambride and Orange Dog Music, even though we didn't play his music today at all.
Hey, guys, stick around. We got a brand new show here coming up right after ours. Devil's in the Details, a conspiracy theory theme show with two of our good friends.
I love that stuff.
Stick around and listen to that. And once again, download our show if you missed it today. You can get it on Apple iTunes for free. Thanks for stopping by. See you next week.
Wait, hang on. Guys.